To succeed, just let go. This is Willie Horton, exploring how we must and can take control of our state of mind and transform our lives. You're very welcome.
Who do you see when you look in the mirror? What are you looking at? Well, for starters, we are human beings. We are flesh and blood. We are made up of bones and muscles and tissue and vital organs and some less vital organs. But we're a bundle of physical stuff encapsulated in our bodies. We are cells, molecules, particles, photons. And at a more fundamental level, we are built up using the building blocks of DNA. Now, we covered DNA quite recently in this podcast because the mood we are in affects the structure of our DNA, whether that DNA is in our own bodies or remotely somewhere else. That obviously has implications, as we previously discussed, for how we interact with those with whom we share DNA and how we can raise their game or how we can bring them down simply by being in a mood, by not being in the right state of mind. So we're molecules, we're photons, we're particles, we're subatomic particles. And at its most fundamental level, we are shimmering superstrings of energy. If we turn our attention to the incredible piece of equipment between our own two ears, we are neurons, synapses, neural pathways, neural connections, cerebral hemispheres, prefrontal cortices, posterior cingulate cortices, a variety of different pieces of the brain that look after our vision, our hearing, our speech, and at a more fundamental level, the so-called reptilian brain, the part of our brain that actually enables us to know what's going on and do what we need to do moment to moment, the subcortical brain. We're looking at the insula, the amygdala, and the hippocampus, and we've covered all this before too. So you're an incredible piece of machinery that is idling in neutral. When we're using your mind normally, we're running on automatic pilot, and idling is probably being just a little too kind to those who are using their mind normally. Basically, you're dead from the neck up. You're not really using that incredible piece of equipment between your two ears at all. But if we are all these various different bits and pieces, where is our spirit? Where is our soul? Where is our essence? Where is who we really are? You can look in the mirror and see your physical features. You can walk from A to B and feel your body moving. You can smell the roses, use all the various different systems that your body offers you. But if you're not paying attention to everything that you're experiencing, you are operating in idle and you are missing the real you. Now, again, there's a phrase that we've used on many occasions in this podcast, the real you. And as I've said on many occasions before, so many people ask me, what are you talking about when you talk about the real me? Well, we're talking about your soul, your spirit, your essence, you beyond thought. But if I can enumerate cells and molecules and cardiovascular systems and digestive systems and hearts and lungs and neurons and neural pathways, can I actually put my finger on your essence, my essence? Well, one of the systems that I haven't mentioned there is the primovascular system. It sits alongside the cardiovascular system. It has been known in Eastern medicine for millennia as the energy pathways or meridians of the body, the routes along which our energy flows. But then again, if you're using your mind normally, your energy isn't flowing at all. Your energy is tied in knots by the thoughts that regularly, daily, in fact, have you tied in knots, have you rooted to the spot, the thoughts that have your life on hold, Even that is being generous, because if we are using our minds normally and those 70,000 thoughts on a loop are whizzing through our head every day, our life isn't really on hold at all. We're actually missing our life moment to moment. And that phrase, another phrase we've used very often in this podcast, moment to moment, is oh so important, because our lives are lived moment to moment. And if you're not experiencing one moment at a time, if you are lost in thought, you're lost. You're missing your own life. But can I pinpoint your soul? Now, if we were to look at things from the perspective of the energy meridians, the now defined primovascular system, or indeed the energy centers in the body, the seven chakras of the body, you will have heard that the seat of the soul is somewhere down towards the pelvis. But that, perhaps, is actually a complication of the reality. People like to know where things are. People like to be able to pinpoint things. People like to be able to look at a chart and say, oh, this is my arm and that is my leg. Where is the soul? Is it down at the base of my tummy? Or is it something more fundamentally simple than that? You are, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, shimmering superstrings of energy, trillions of them. Now, if your energy isn't flowing freely, your superstrings of energy aren't shimmering. And therefore, you are not alive. It's just another way of looking at what we've been looking at for a few minutes with regard to when we're lost in thought, we're lost. Your soul, your spirit, is not a location in your body. It is a feeling. It is all of your body when your body is in flow. Your soul, your spirit, your essence is the flow of your own energy, the coherent flow of your own energy. What do I mean by coherent? Well, I mean it is flowing unimpeded. It is flowing along the primovascular system, out through the palms of your hands, where the terminals of the primovascular system are. It is flowing, if I can use acupuncture language, it is flowing along the energy meridians in the body. But it isn't if it's blocked. And therefore, if you are lost in thought, you are lost to yourself. You do not know your own soul, your own spirit, your own essence. You cannot know the real you until you allow your energy flow freely. Again, we've discussed on many occasions over the last 250 something episodes of this podcast how we can allow our energy flow freely and what neuroscience, cognitive psychology, quantum physics, bioelectricity and bioenergy, the sciences of, what they all say about what happens when our energy is flowing freely, how we transform the wondrous piece of equipment between our own two ears when we allow our energy flow freely, how we send out our intentions into a responsive universe, one that's waiting for us to actually turn up to our own lives in the here and now, how we send out our intentions in photons of light from the terminals of the primovascular system when we allow our energy flow freely, how we transform the manner in which we interact with other people, because we actually, more fundamentally than anything else, communicate with others on an energetic level. Even normal crazy people know how that feels. As we've said quite recently, it's much nicer to be in the presence of someone with presence than to be cornered by an energy vampire. When our energy is flowing freely, we are present. Or actually, I should put it the other way around. When we are present, our energy is flowing freely, because that actually makes it simpler to digest for even the silliest of people. All I need to do is develop my ability to be present. We develop our ability to be present by paying attention to the five senses that we have. Our five senses are the five obvious interfaces that we have with the outside world. We see, we feel, we hear, we smell, we taste. But we do not see what is before our very eyes when we're lost in thought. We don't hear compliments. We don't hear opportunities. We don't hear nothing when we are lost in thought. We feel nothing when we are lost in thought. We only think we're feeling. We're feeling a pain, or we're feeling lonely, or we're feeling guilty. Guilt, loneliness, fear, they all come from thought. They're not real feelings. And even the pain that you might feel in some part of your body is probably the result of your energy being blocked in that part of your body because your thinking mind has put a spanner in the works of your own flowing energy. Again, we've talked about that recently in the context of how a lack of flow in your own bodily system actually causes serious and sometimes fatal illnesses. We've talked about cardiovascular disease and cancer very recently in this podcast, and how these ailments are the product of the thinking mind blocking our own flow of spirit, soul, essence, energy. We allow ourselves flow freely by first of all experiencing, even for a moment, what it feels like to flow freely. Now, most people will have experienced that at some point in their lives by accident. You know, you're present at the birth of your first child and it's a wow moment. Or you're sitting on a beautiful beach, sober by the way, as the sun goes down and experiencing the natural beauty of the moment. Another wow moment. Sometimes people experience a synchronicity like falling in love with somebody, literally like being hit by a train, in the best possible way, of course. And it is a wow moment. But those accidental moments of clarity and of flow only happen us when we're taken unawares, when our thinking mind is nonplussed by the magic of the moment. We've talked about that in a different context over the last couple of weeks in relation to how the thinking mind is taken out of the equation entirely when we are confronted by a life-threatening situation or an emergency, and how, as a result of our not being able to stop to think about what we do, we sometimes take on superhuman powers in those moments. But that's an accidental moment of flow as well. So everybody has experienced accidental moments of flow, but that's no use to us. Particularly when our lives are lived moment to moment, we can't wait to hang around for another accidental moment of flow, particularly when the science tells us that we can allow ourselves experience flow ourselves, and in allowing ourselves experience flow, allow that experience build up an everyday deliberate allowance on your part to be in flow to the point where it actually changes the structure of the key components of the subcortical brain that I mentioned earlier on, the insula, the amygdala, and the hippocampus. We can deliberately allow ourselves experience flow through the fine art of meditation. Now, all too often when I mention the word meditation, people have immediate reactions. And of course, their reactions are born out of what their thinking mind thinks it knows about meditation. Oh, it's some Eastern voodoo. Oh, it is related to some religion. Oh, even if it isn't related to either of those things, oh, it couldn't be that simple. But there are now decades of research that says it is that simple. You sit down, you meditate properly. I'll come back to that in a moment. You sit down, you meditate regularly, you allow yourself experience flow while you're meditating with the purpose, the deliberate purpose of enabling you flow when you're not meditating. In other words, meditation is the training to enable you experience the moment during the cut and thrust of your everyday life, and in doing so, transform your life moment to moment. There are a couple of key things you need to know as a result of what I've just said. First of all, I touched on proper meditation. You need to be careful as to how you go about your meditation. There's a lot of stuff online. It's a lot of stuff, for example, on YouTube that is motivational rather than proper meditation. You don't want to try to talk yourself into a positive state of mind. That's obviously not what we're talking about, because even though positive thinking, I was going to say, is better than negative thinking, but we question that in just a moment, it's still thinking. You're still using your thinking mind, and as long as you're using your thinking mind, you are preventing the coherent flow of your own energy. Positive thinking, just while we're on the subject, may actually be more dangerous than negative thinking. At least negative thinking keeps us on our toes, and that is something that comes from the evolutionary development of our brains. At least it keeps us on our toes from the perspective of potential threat. Positive thinking is actually delusional. And we can get ourselves into all kinds of difficulties. I could go off on a rant here about how businesses, whole industries, individuals have got themselves into an awful mess as a result of positive thinking. You'd be better off negative thinking than positive thinking. And indeed, obviously, you'd be better off not thinking at all, because, as we've said on many an occasion in this podcast, we are at our best when we are not thinking. We are at our best when we simply are. Jean-Paul Sartre had it the wrong way around. It was he who said, "I think, therefore I am." No, when you're thinking, you're not. When you're thinking, you've masked the real you, your spirit, your soul, your essence, your flow. The other key point that I want to come back to, because I only barely alluded to it a minute ago, is that I said that you allow yourself flow when you're meditating, so that you enable yourself flow during the course of the day. In other words, through deliberately allowing yourself flow through meditation and through regular meditation, the restructuring of your subcortical brain, you will get to the point where you don't need to choose to allow yourself flow during the course of the day. Allowing yourself flow as a result of your regular meditative practice will enable you flow during the course of the day without you really having to do anything about it. It's like, for example, how I have said to people over the years when I recommend to them that they do six mini meditations during the course of the day, whilst they're learning the ropes, so to speak, that after a few weeks, they'll find that they don't need to do the six mini meditations anymore, because the restructuring of their brain will bring them to the point where they will be checking and balancing themselves and flowing during the course of the day without them having to deliberately or consciously intervene. In other words, you actually get to the point where you are naturally in flow. You discover your true nature. You unleash your spirit, your soul, your essence, the real you. And what a difference that makes in your life. For starters, through simply being present, you know what's going on. Through being present and free of the thoughts that stop you doing what you need to do, or tell you that you may not be capable of doing what you need to do, you start doing effortlessly what you need to do without thinking about it. You see, it's only thought that holds us back. It's only thought that creates the effort. It's only thought that creates the trying and the stress and the struggle. As we said a couple of weeks ago, you get what you want when you stop wanting. And I said it another way as well over the course of the last couple of weeks. You get what you want when you stop trying. The trying comes from thinking. But once you don't allow yourself think anymore, or once through allowing yourself experience flow through regular meditation and enabling yourself flow during the course of the day, you simply aren't thinking at all anymore. Now, people have said to me, "Are you telling me that I need to go around with my head in the clouds? Are you telling me that I should go around without thinking at all? Surely I need to think about the things I have to do today, for example." Well, generally speaking, when we use our minds, normally the things that we have to do any day end up on a to-do list, whether it is just in your head or actually a paper to-do list or on your iPhone or iPad or whatever. Some of those things don't need to be done at all. How many times over the years have we looked back at to-do lists and said to ourselves, oh, why was that on the to-do list in the first place? Or, oh, I never got around to it, and it seemed to have resolved itself without my doing anything. Or somebody else looked after it for me. So a lot of stuff that we put on to-do lists doesn't need to be there at all. But a lot of the stuff that does need to be there is put there and shoved around the place and reordered because we start thinking about what we'd prefer to do first and what we would prefer to put off. In other words, to-do lists are a beautiful place where the thinking mind can hang out and do nothing. They are to-don't lists, actually. Do we need to think about what we have to do today? No, we need to do what feels right, right here and now during the course of the day. And that comes to us effortlessly, because there's no thought involved. That comes to us effortlessly when we are in flow and we end up doing the right things in the right way at the right time effortlessly. You'll have heard me on a number of occasions in this podcast talk about how I recommend that those with whom I work ask themselves an open question before their head hits the pillow at night. And that open question is phrased in different ways by different people, to each their own. But generally speaking, the essence of the open question is, what's the next most important thing I need to do? Now, it's not what's the next most important action I need to take in relation to this, that, or the other. It's a deliberately open question, because when we sleep, it's our thinking mind that falls asleep. And our essential selves, our essence, our spirit, our soul, our subconscious mind comes to the surface and gets our little ducks in a row so that when we wake up in the morning, we have the answer to the open question. Now, sometimes it won't happen immediately the following morning, but sometimes it'll happen when you're in the shower, or sometimes it'll happen when you're doing something entirely unrelated during the course of the following day. And so many people over the years have said to me, I got up the following morning, looked at my to-do list when I got into work. It felt right to do something else that wasn't on the to-do list. And in fact, because it came from my intuitive self, who would never have made it onto the to-do list in the first place, because the to-do list was shuffled around the place and put together by my thinking mind, I found myself doing something that I would never have anticipated doing, and discovered as the day went on that it wasn't just the right thing to do at that moment in time, but it was a pivotal action that actually changed perhaps not just the course of the day, but the course of my life. Now, that is why, for example, there is research from the University of Sussex that says if you have an important decision to make, sleep on it. And the same research says that if you have an exam to sit next Monday, go fishing or painting or hiking or do something completely different on Friday, Saturday and Sunday, because assuming you already have studied somewhat along the way, your subconscious mind will put all your little ducks in a row and the answers will flow out of you because you're not thinking about it and you didn't tie yourself in knots thinking about it over the course of the couple of days leading up to the exam. So this research says that if you have an important decision to make, you should sleep on it. And I've explained how that actually works, actually from a neural perspective. But when you allow yourself experience flow through meditation to the point where it enables you experience flow during the cut and thrust of your day, then you actually know what's going on in real time and you feel what is the right thing to do and you feel how best to do it and you feel your way through each situation, putting your best foot forward, navigating your way through even the madness that other people will put in your way during the course of an ordinary everyday of your life. In that way, the ordinary of your everyday life becomes extraordinary, the extra being that you have simply turned up to the here and now. Now, in conclusion to this week's podcast, I want to again reiterate a really important point. We meditate to allow ourselves experience flow. In the experience of flow through regular meditation, our subcortical brain restructures itself so that by allowing ourselves experience flow regularly in meditation. We enable ourselves experience flow during the cut and thrust of the day. We get to the point where we don't have to check ourselves. We don't have to remind ourselves to behave ourselves, to be in flow during the course of the day. It happens naturally, because what you have done in following those steps is pinpointed your spirit, your soul, your essence, the real you. You have felt it. You have unleashed it. You have unleashed your own free-flowing, coherent energy into your world and into the world at large.
You've been listening to Succeed, Just Let Go. Hope you've got a little something to help you transform your life today.